And now, Jalen and Jacoby.
He is Jalen.
What up?
Anthony Rose.
Dope.
I'm David Jacoby.
And on the cool check-in.
We're Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that we do?
Give the people.
We have a lot of week three matchups that we couldn't put in the other pod that we need to discuss, but nothing is more important. Nothing is more important than your evening last night in Atlanta. I want to know all the details. Did you miss Gracie's volleyball game? Like, where'd you go first? When did you get a haircut? Like, I want to know all the details. Did you have a driver? Did you just use Ubers? Like, what happened?
I got you, family. So we had a great show yesterday. And as you know, I'm in the ATL. Shout out to my guy, Mikhail Rock Nation, who went and hung out with me last night. Shout out. So a few things happened. First off, I risked my life. That's how I knew yesterday was important. And you know how I did it? I got a haircut from my unvaccinated Atlanta barber.
What?
I risked my life.
Nope.
This dude cares about his hair so much that he put his life at jeopardy. You know, I know it's a respiratory disease, Jalen, and I know you've got some strong muscles in that body, but I don't know if the lungs are the strongest.
I just said some prayers, and I just was like, you know what, God, for some reason, make sure I don't get sick.
Did you make him wear a mask and like a face shield, gloves, hazmat suit?
He had on a mask, but I couldn't wear a mask when he touched up my goatee. At first, I was sitting there like, I'm going to wear a mask. I'm disappointed in you, right? And then I'm like, you got to hit this goatee, dog. You got to hit this goatee. So first off, that's how I knew it was an important night. Shout out to my guy, Hawk.
Shout out.
So I go and have a couple of beverages at the Ritz because I wanted to be close to the event. I didn't want to be stuck in traffic. You know how it works. You got to be somewhere at 7:30, 8 o'clock. Atlanta, you don't want to be sitting in 5, 6 o'clock traffic, that type of thing. So I was already downtown. I looked down at the phone.
Time out. What about your satirical decisions that you made?
I got you.
Because this is important. Because we talked about this on the pod already, that one is you've got the premier BMF, and then you've got a black tie event for Jeezy. It's hard to hit that middle ground.
It's so hard to say goodbye. So I'm looking at my phone, Jacoby. It's 7:10. I'm like, perfect. I'm about to go change, and we about to hit up the event, the BMF premiere. I go upstairs to the bathroom. I realize something.
What happened?
I have my jacket. I have my shirt. I have my shoes.
Yep.
I don't have my pants.
You gonna wear like some basketball shorts?
I don't have my pants.
And like some hard bottoms?
Hey, dog, it was so crucial. It tested my faith, dog. It really tested me.
You risked your life to get a haircut and then forgot your pants. He's gonna go to the event in your drawers.
And so I had on the jogging suit, right? And I'm like, you know what? I'm not even gonna panic. I am not going to panic.
But let me just tell you something. It's not easy to get pants, first of all, anywhere at 7:10, especially if you're 6'8". You know what I mean? Like, they don't hold those everywhere. You know? Like, you're not a 32-32. They got that everywhere.
And the first thing I tried to do, I was like, let me see if there's a rag and bone. Let me see if it's a John Barbados. You gave me some really good pants from the pants you gave with the store.
Rag and Bone?
Not John Barbados, the other store.
Oh, you love Hugo Boss?
No, you love their underwear.
Oh, Lululemon.
Lululemon, right?
So they got some stretchy pants that look formal, but they feel casual.
Correct. Right. So when I was in the bathroom and I realized I didn't have my pants, the first thing I did was try to Google one of those three spots and see if I could go try to grab some pants. And then I realized none of those are in downtown Atlanta. So then at that point, I was screwed. There was like a 5-minute period where I was like, am I not going to go?
Oh, no. This is so dramatic. I didn't expect the story to be this good. You got no pants.
Let me tell you.
First of all, how did you forget the pants in the first place? Like, how do you do that?
So, when I got to the hotel, when I check in the hotels and I have things that I don't want to get wrinkled, I immediately hang them up, right?
Of course.
So, I hung up my look. And when I went to put it in the garment bag, for some strange reason, I put in everything except the pants. Mm. And so, my guy, Mikhail, I walked back out, and I wasn't dressed.
I hope Mikhail's like 6'8". Is Mikhail 6'8"?
No. He's crisp, though. He got on his... Hey, he's dressed for the Jeezy event, though. He got on black...
So, he's got some pants. He's wearing pants, basically.
Yes.
Okay.
Dress pants. Like, he's crisp, right? So, I'm like, what am I going to do? I can't not miss it. But I'm definitely not going to be on time for the red carpet. I called the hotel. I was like, if I go back and forth to the hotel, that's going to be 40 minutes each way. That just kills the night. I called the hotel. Extremely helpful. So much so, the young lady at the front desk went to the room, FaceTimed me, everything, and got the pants. I'm talking about FaceTime me,
dog.
What,
they got pants on deck? What do you mean?
They went to my room and got my pants. She FaceTimed
me. Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. So you're not at your hotel. You're at a different hotel having a beverage just to be close because you're so cautious that you've got everything perfectly set up except your pants. I got you.
Correct. So I called the hotel that I'm staying in, and everybody knows how this works. One person can either influence everything in a positive way or discourage you. It's almost like when you're trying to get in somewhere and it's just that one security guard that just won't let you in. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's just like, this is just one human being that's just blocking me from having the time of my life, right? And so I call. Extremely helpful. So much so, she went to my room and FaceTimed me. Is this the pants? Is this the pants? Is this the pants? I'm like, no, those right there. Oh, and not only did she get my pants, I sent an Uber while she was doing it.
That's what I was thinking, because you have Ubers now can be messengers. Like, that's exactly what I was thinking you should be doing. But continue.
So when she was in the room, I was thinking, I ain't gonna lie, I told her that I was on my way back, right? Just because I didn't want her to like not go to my room and do it.
So you lied. Really, that's a lie. That's an L-I-E, lie.
Yep.
I guess that's what it's called. And so
but I can't wait to find out how much you tipped this young lady. She just bought a house.
200.
She just bought a house.
200.
She just put a down payment on a house.
I got back to the telly last night. She was working a graveyard shift. 200.
There you go.
Picture, everything. I love her.
I know. And she was also like, oh, Mr. Rose, that's too much. Don't worry. It's okay. But knowing darn well she was taking it.
I'm like, if you don't take this $200, I'm going to fall down on the floor and go into convulsions right now.
I've heard you use that line so many times. Like, people that don't want to take your tip, you're like, I will cause a scene. Like, the police will be here with an ambulance if you don't take this money. It's like, they're like, all right, I guess I have to. You know, sometimes the manager doesn't want to take the tip. You're just like, I don't think you understand. Like, the National Guard will be outside of this restaurant if you don't take this $50 out of my hand.
I'm like, I'm going to make a scene right here in the lobby if you don't take this money. I'm going to fall out and everything. Like, and so I was like, while she was in the room, I was like describing it like I was on my way back. But then once she got the pants, I was like, the Uber's downstairs. You could just give them to the driver. His name is whatever. And so she gave them to the driver.
Time out. Don't tell me you got an Uber Black for your pants. You gotta go X for your pants, dog.
SUV.
Don't tell me you got an Uber Black for your pants.
What? SUV, dog.
Yo, my pants can ride in a Camry. You know, my pants don't need a new Escalade. You know what I mean? My pants can ride in a Mini Cooper. You know what I mean? We don't need that.
Here's what I learned about life. You treat things with the level of importance that they deserve. And without those pants, my night is ruined. So I want to make sure they travel in luxury. I don't want somebody driving their mom's car in the XL, stopping at the gas station,
smoking a cigarette,
doing stuff and not bringing me my pants. You know what I'm saying? So the driver brought the pants. It was dope. I gave him $100. I went and changed. We went to the BMF premiere. And like always, I realized something. I ain't have a ticket. Like, I ain't have a ticket. So
of course not.
We stroll up, me and Mikhail stroll up.
Let me just time out. See, I know how Mikhail feels at this point because I've gone to enough things with you. Mikhail had a tie on like 30 minutes before he was even going to meet you. Like, Mikhail was buttoned up, literally and figuratively. He had his night all planned. And then he sees you. He lays eyes on you. You got a drink in your hand. You're in a jogging suit. You're FaceTiming somebody in a different hotel talking about pants. I know what Mikhail goes through. Mikhail's just like, how's this dude even like get from place to place?
Correct. I'm pretty sure he was thinking that. So we got to the premiere. And I didn't know if it was going to be like exclusive or if it was going to be for the public. But it ended up being like 3,000 people there. So it wasn't like an exclusive premiere. It was more like a premiere for the public, right? A viewing premiere. And so they like, you go this way if you got a laminate. You go this way if you got a ticket. And I'm thinking like, I don't have either one. You know what I'm saying?
0-for-2 on that.
Right. So I look down at Michelle's email. You know my assistant, Michelle, she's the best. She's going to make sure I have everything I need. So I look down at her most recent email for the BMF thing. It was a parking pass. And I was like, all right.
For your pants.
Right. It was a parking pass. So I walk up and I show the dude my BMF parking pass. He like, dog,
nope.
I know who you are. I got love for you. These cameras right here are working. My boss is over there. Like, I can't let you in right now. But here's what you do. Go over to the ticket spot. I'm gonna text my guy. He'll let you right in. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm telling you, dog, it's a real thing. It's like 3,000 people, dog. And so I go over to the other spot. Homie was waiting for me, open arms. He parted the red seat. It was like 500 people. He parted the red. People was mad at me. You know how like when you at the airport and people think I'm getting special privileges? I'm like, no, I just have clear. That's it. It's not like, you know what I'm saying? They're not doing this for me because I'm who I am. It's like, I got TSA pre-check and I got clear. So they just letting me through. So that's kind of how it was. So we got in. The first episode was dope. Like, shout to my nephew, Lil Big Meech. Like,
shout out.
His acting was incredible, dog. I didn't know who Omari Hardwick or Joseph Sikora was before Power. I didn't know who they were. That's how people gonna feel about this when they see Lil Big Meech, dog. He crushed it.
I'm gonna get his name for you while you keep talking.
And he killed it. So I watched the episode, shook hands, kissed babies. I was sitting next to my guy, 2 Chainz. To be honest, that's kind of how I got a seat. So many people like, whatever. I saw
it sounds 2 just Chainz. Like the Hall of Fame story. It's like the same story, just a different week.
I saw 2 Chainz, gave him that. What up, though? We took a picture, all of that. And then I looked. I was like, there's like 3 seats in his row, you know? So when he go back to his row, I'm going to just walk behind him. So I just walk with him. Excuse me. And just slide through. Da, da, da. And I just sat down and I was goody. And then it was time to go. Boss move. You ready for this? And you know me extremely well. You know how I move. You know what I did?
Of course.
The driver, the same driver that brought me my pants, the same driver, I had him on deck. And you know, when you leaving somewhere and there's 3,000 people, It's impossible to get a car. It's
So you didn't use the Uber app. You had him on text.
Boom.
And you had it set up. You know, you're not going through the app.
Yep.
You don't. If you open up the Uber app, and you just left an event with 3,000 people in downtown Atlanta, you might as well just steal a bike.
Correct. And so I text him, and I just, you know, hey, we'll be ready to rock in 15 minutes. You around? He like, I got you. I'm like, perfect. Right? We walk out. He's sitting right in the front. Like, my God, the security guy, I also gave him 100. He parted the Red Sea for my driver, too. I told him the guy's name. I was like, yo, just pull right up, ask for my guy. He was sitting right in the front. That, like, you would have thought I was acting in the premiere. He was sitting right there, dog.
People was like, for a second. I want to correct myself. I didn't realize that playing Big Meech was Big Meech's son.
Yes, sir. That's what I'm saying.
I had no idea. You kept calling him Little Big Meech, and I was like, oh, I thought you just didn't know the actor's name. I just want to apologize to our audience. That's deep. All right, continue.
And that wasn't initially the plan. Like, they had a casting call for people to play that role. He wasn't even supposed to be acting in the movie. He was sitting next to 50 watching people get casted for the show. And 50 was like, 50 told me this, and I know this is kind of off wax, but I'll just say it. 50 was like, he was playing music for me. And we were trying to see who was going to play the role of Big Meech. And after we did like 15 or 20 people, I looked at somebody else and was like, why don't we get him to try to do it? That's how he ended up getting the role. He wasn't even supposed to be in it. He was sitting there representing his father, representing BMF, helping 50 pick the actor who was going to play his father. And then after they did it for 25 people, 50 looks at him and was like, why don't you do it? 50 sends this man to acting classes.
That's 50's genius. You know what I mean? Like, that's real taste. That's real just foresight. That's seeing talent in people. Like, that's just like an innate ability which makes him as successful as he is. Continue.
He's an incredible executive, right? And he told me something that was crazy smart. I was like, dog, you got 22 projects out. I know you can't name them all. He started naming them. And it bugged me out. And then so I asked him, I was like, how did you cast Power? Because you know how this works. When you're 50 and you're doing a show, people want you to be the star. But you can't launch a show like Power and Kanan be the star. You need to elevate other people to do the interviews, elevate other people to promote the show. He told me, and this is so smart, he did a character profile of each person that he put in Power, and he attached a song to it. He attached a song to each character. So Ghost had a song, Tommy had a song, like everybody had a song. Wow. And that's how he themed the show. And he said he was sitting there next to Lil Big Meech, and they just saw 25 people go in front, and he was like playing me music. Then he was like, he was playing me music. He was trying to, like, you know what I'm saying, do other stuff. He had zero interest in being part of this. Like zero. Like zero. Like zero. Like, he was like, he playing me music. And he was like, you know what? I'm gonna turn you on to this acting coach, da 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 da. If you do A, B, C, and D, you got a legit chance to have this role. And he actually did it. And so for me, when I watched it last night, as somebody that's done a lot of acting, I was like, I want to see how that transformation takes place. And he crushed it. So after I watched that, I jumped in the car. I told you he was valet. Go to the Young Jeezy dinner. Shout to his wife, Janine, who's expecting their first baby. Expecting their first baby. And for those that don't know, Jay Jenkins, that's my brother. Like, beyond sports, beyond entertainment, beyond the cameras, all of that. Jacoby, no. We've been outside together. That's mm-hmm. that's my brother. And when I show up, this is exclusive, Jacoby. This is just the opposite. This is like exclusive. Like, you couldn't even pull in the parking lot.
You called it a dinner. When it's called a dinner, you know it's exclusive. You don't have dinners with 100 people. It's not a party, it's a dinner.
Dog, it was exclusive. Like, we turned down the street and they had security. Like, I'm dead serious. They had like a sheriff, like sheriff's cars blocking off the block. You know what I'm saying? So when we pull up, I'm like, damn. I'm like, all right. Cause, you know, I'm like, whatever.
Don't have a ticket for that either.
Right. I'm like, damn, all right. So we pull up or whatever. And at first, you know, it was kind of, they was a little distant. Like, yo, he don't have no parking laminate thing. Like, y'all can't bring the car in or whatever. So I was like, all right. So I got out the car, played the whole Jalen Rose thing, da 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 da. And he was like, yo, I'm from Detroit. I was like, bet. I'm like, bet. He let me straight. He like, I got you, dog. You know what I'm saying? I cannot make this up. He was straight from Detroit. The sheriff was at first, the other guy got out the car, and he was kind of cold to the driver, didn't show us no love, that type of thing. And then I got out and seen the other dude. He's from Detroit. I was like, dope. Stroll me right in. I'm talking, hey, dog. He lasered me right. I was sitting next to Jeezy in 5 minutes. Like, he really? Lasered me right in. And shout to my guy, Rick Ross. Rose! He had a good time. You know who else was performing? Keith Sweat. Make it last forever and ever. He was performing the OG. Shout to my guy, Big Tigger. It was a great night. And I'll just tell you this. 2 Chainz was blowing some gas in the air that I was about to call the fire department, dog. I'm like, dog, what is that you smoking, dog?
I've never smelled that before, and I've been everywhere.
Hey, dog, he has some... Hey, he said in his song, he's like smoking on some gas. And I said that to him last night. I'm like, dog, what do you have? He's like, I was like, no, I don't want none of that, dog. I'm good.
Yeah. I'm good. I'm asleep.
I'm good, dog. Like, it was strong, dog. Strong song. So I had a great night. And let me tell you something, though, that I'm not proud of. Not proud of this. Not proud of this.
What happened?
Not proud of this.
What happened?
I was out to like 2-3 in the morning. We danced, we sung, we had an amazing time. I missed my flight this morning.
Oh, see, I wasn't gonna say it. See, I was gonna let you hold that.
I missed my flight.
We got a conference call every morning at 7. We're gonna wait for Jalen to join. In the back of my head, I'm like, there's no reason to wait for Jalen to join. I know where he was last night. I was like, we can just start right now. You know? Davidson, our producer, was like, we're gonna wait a couple minutes for Jalen to join. In the back of my head, I'm just laughing. Like, I didn't say nothing because it was a conference call. I was just like, okay, we can wait for 2 minutes for Jalen to join. All right.
Hey, dog, let me tell you something. I had an amazing night, and the beauty of it, and I just have to tell you this, people love our freaking show, dog. Like, I was at that place, and people was walking past, get the people! And like, I'm dead serious. Like, we could have been on the stage. Like, it was love like that. And Rose was mad at me, dog.
What?
He's like, I can't believe y'all don't have me on the show. Like, I watch the show every day. I cannot believe you don't ask me to come on the show.
I can't believe it either. I don't have Rose in my phone. I know you do. Get him on the show.
He was like, dog, I watch y'all show every day. And you know what else? He's one of those people that like Jacoby more than me.
That I'm, you know, I'm moving to Atlanta. I'm moving to Atlanta. How many houses you got in Atlanta? You got a spare house for me?
I do.
I'm moving to Atlanta.
Rick Ross took 5 minutes out of his life, and he has some crazy dope diamond glasses. Love David Jacoby.
Who
love
don't?
You.
Got
love
great
you.
Taste. He's got great love taste.
You. That's great taste. Man, I'm like, he was like, yo, my guy Jacoby, da 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 da. I was like, all right, we got to have you on the show. So we're going to have my guy Rosé on soon.
Good. Well, I'm glad that you had such a great time. I don't remember Michelle reaching out to me, booking me flights and hotel for Atlanta. You know what I mean? There's some nights where you're Jalen's plus one, and there's some nights when you're not. And I'm happy that you know the difference. And anytime you need me, I'm there to support you. I'll go get
yes,
your pants.
Yes, sir.
I'll go get your pants. Shout out to that lady that works at the hotel that got your pants, man.
I
good
love
for her.
I good told her I might put you in my will. You just say my wife.
I might put you like, in my real. Will.
Yeah, I'm gonna give you $50,000 when I die. You know what
your
I'm saying?
Kids are, your kids are gonna be like, wait a second. Who's this person again?
I'm like, I'm gonna give you $50,000 when I die.
We gotta get a lawyer.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Very quickly, let's get back to week three, Mr. Rose. A couple games we didn't get to that I think are important. Saints-Patriots in New England. The Saints have been two different teams so far, blowing out the Packers. And then Jameis didn't look so good in week two.
And also, the Tom Brady trainer speaking about Bill Belichick.
Oh, yeah. Alex Guerrero.
Senior speaking negative about Belichick. But I just got to say this about Alex Guerrero, too, Tom Brady's trainer. He was accused of doing a lot of shady things.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And at some point, they gave him persona non grata at Foxborough. They're like, no, you
correct.
Can't even come to Foxborough.
Correct.
And he must have done something to deserve that.
So he got an axe to grind. So I understand that. You know what I mean?
That's what but they said. Tom they said Brady, to me, they're like, what do you think about this topic? Should we put it in the show? And I was like, that sounds to me like an ex-employee talking about where they used to work. You know what I mean?
Correct.
It's like he's not an objective observer. He's not a journalist reporting a story. He's a dude who's got an axe to grind, and he's happy to grind it for any microphone that's in front of him.
Yep. Correct. But when Tom Brady Sr. started talking, which he did, I know Bill Belichick's antennas are up. And so that game is next weekend. This weekend, the precursor, I got a name for you. Alvin Kamara.
Okay.
While we celebrated Jameis in week one and he struggled in week two, Alvin Kamara is actually their best player. No Michael Thomas. I anticipate him having a huge fantasy weekend and the Saints rebounding.
My man Jacoby going up against the Raiders. Can Jacoby Brissett do the impossible? Can he take down the 2-0 Raiders?
How about this? After this weekend, the Carolina Panthers and the Las Vegas Raiders are going to both be 3-0. The Carolina Panthers and the Raiders are both going to be 3-0.
Now, there's a couple more games we're not going to be able to get to.
And Waller, you know what? Waller's going to break the NFL record this year. At some point, he's going to catch like 22 balls in a game.
They
throw it to him 50 times.
That's not enough.
At some point, he's going to catch them all.
That's not enough. Like, I know you love Ruggs. You think that he should get the ball more? Every time they throw it to Waller, it's incomplete. I'm like, good decision. Oh, is he double covered? Throw it to him. Triple cover, throw it to him. Because every third one he's going to catch and get 30 yards after the catch. I love Waller so much. We only got a little bit of time left, but one thing I want to do is make sure we always hear from you on a weekend exclusive. We got to hear from our listeners on the weekend exclusive. Our voicemails are fueled by Gatorade. Whatever path you take to greatness, Gatorade is there to fuel it. Greatness starts with a G. And we'd love to hear from you. Call 985-80-JALEN and leave us a voicemail, and we'll put it on the show just like this one.
What's up, Jalen and Jacoby? It's your boy, Bo, residing in the 314 St. Louis, originally from Mississippi. Shout out, Reed, and everybody who makes this great show. Boss move or soft move? Telling your in-laws you have to work on Saturday so they can keep the kids Friday night to Saturday afternoon. Let me know.
Soft move, boss move. Telling your in-laws that you have to work on Saturday.
Lying is always a soft move.
See, now this is, let me explain. Actually, let me take it from there, Mr. Rose, because this is a life that I live. I've never told my wife what time we finished taping the show, but I've never lied about it. You see what I'm saying? I've never lied about what time we finished taping the show, but I've never been fully truthful about it either, because she might think that I work a little bit longer than I do, because I like to kick it after work, because I like
to work out.
Well,
that's like the airline. That's no different than the airline. I'm sitting on a flight, and they like, from Detroit to Atlanta is 2 hours. I'm like, I know it take an hour and 28 minutes.
Yeah, you flown that million. They do it every time. They lie about when they're gonna get somewhere so they can. We're always on time. Like, no, you're not. You're saying it takes 7 hours to get to Los Angeles. Of course, you're gonna be on time when you sit in the tarmac for 40 minutes and pass out waters. Get out of here. It's a great point. So, Bo from Mississippi originally, now in St. Louis. It's not that we're encouraging you to lie. We're encouraging you not to lie. But there are ways to not lie and still get what you need done.
Correct. We call that stretching the truth. Jacoby can't say we're done shooting the show at 12. That affects our afternoon brunches, lunches, and beverages.
Workouts, all of that. And going to the sim golf place, maybe playing some pickup basketball, all of that. I hot yoga the truth. I got the truth in Warrior 3. It's going hard. We got time for one more call.
Jalen, Jacoby, what up? Jacob from St. Pete. Youth basketball question for you. Just started coaching my son's 8-year-old team. Half the people on the team have never played before. 10 people on the team, everybody gets the standard equal amount of minutes. Here's my question. First game, we scored a whopping 8 points. Usually, you would teach kids to sprint back on defense. However, in this league, I've noticed that nobody can handle the ball. Is it disrespectful or is it a soft move by full court pressing an 8-year-old youth basketball? Keep giving people what they want. Peace. Shout out, Reg.
See, I've got an 8-year-old son too, and I got a controversial opinion on this one. Soft move. They're so young. This ain't about your team winning. It's about the kids falling in love with the game and the development of everybody. And like, what are you trying to blow out some 8-year-olds? You know, like if I'm the coach of the other team, I'm looking at you like, well, dog, what are we doing here? What do you want, a trophy? You know, but maybe if you're down by a lot, then maybe you can do something like that. But I think I'd be down double digits just to have something like that happen in an 8-year-old league.
Jacoby, future NBA player, enters the chat. Boss move, dog.
Mm-mm.
Hey, dog, let me tell you something.
What?
If we going to compete, let's do this. Like, if you got to teach them the game. If we going to compete.
If you're keeping score.
Yeah. We going to compete. Let's do this. You got to work on your left hand, dog. You got to work on your ball handling. You got to work on your passing.
Disagree.
You got to work on.
I disagree.
I'm not one of those people that like lower the rim or don't shoot from the free throw line. No, we going to learn how to play the game. Like, I remember being a fifth grader, getting my shots blocked, getting pushed down. That's what come with it. That's how you learn how to ball. And so that's why I started shooting floaters. I just remember being a kid in the 80s shooting floaters and people was like, that was a bad shot because I was skinny. Like, that used to be a bad shot. Mm-hmm. My little teardrop, people used to think that was always a bad shot. I'm telling you, Coach Watson used to let me shoot it, but everybody else thought it was a bad shot. Even like even in the paper, they used to be like, Jalen Rose, I got articles of people criticizing me shooting that shot.
That's wild.
And so,
and now if you don't have one, you can't play.
Like, correct. Like,
yeah.
You can't even play. That's a giant killer. And I started shooting it because I always was getting my shot blocked. That's why I started shooting it. And every level that I played ball, we pressed. We pressed. Like Vegas, they did the amoeba. Southwestern, we did the run and jump. The whole practice, the whole day, we pressed the entire time. So in middle school, I was already doing that. And so I believe it's a good thing for the young people to understand how to make decisions under pressure when they're young. Boss move.
Jalen, I appreciate you taking us behind the curtain on your very dramatic evening last night. I appreciate you being honest and telling the people that you missed your flight and your conference call in the morning. You got some traveling to do. You know, you got to get back to Detroit somehow. Call that Uber driver. Call that Uber driver. Just have him drive you, you know?
And you know what else? And I got to say this to the people. This is why I always say the night before affects the morning of. Not only did I miss my flight, I missed my flight because I was supposed to go to Detroit because Jeep and JRLA are having an event today.
Oh, no.
What?
Oh, no.
I really missed my flight, man.
I'm disappointed in you, bro.
Correct.
I'm disappointed. There are some people that work for Jeep that are very excited about your presence being there. You have to have Michelle write a very apologetic email and then send it to your account.
Why I'm saying this publicly, shout out to Kim Adams House and Jeep and Kenyatta, who initially kicked off the relationship. They're my number one corporate sponsor. So much. I love Jeep so much. If you see me naked, you'll see I have a Jeep tattoo on my butt.
You always got to say something that might get us canceled right before the end of the show. We'll be back on Monday. Why is that, Jalen Rose?
We're not done. We're not done. Make sure you go out and buy a Jeep. We are not done.